tuned to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
I've a lot of the heroes in the faith, when I first got saved and converted, I didn't know any Bible, and so I would watch them on TV and listen to them on radio. I'm not a big fan of some of my former heroes because yes. I'm trying to be polite. We're on radio. Because they did what you just stated. It looks like they're taking too big of a bite out of the apple. They're hoarding the apples. They've let some of that stuff go to their head.
In town here, I went up to the fanciest hotel on the beach, and I'm talking to the men. What do you call the men that park your car? Valets.
Yeah.
And I said, who owns that new black Rolls Royce? And they said, a preacher. Look over there. There's a white one. That's owned by his wife. That's over $1 million worth of cars. I'm sorry, but I believe if you're called to preach, I mean, you can drive a nice car, but shouldn't you live a more ascetic lifestyle? I'm just not sure that's, you know what I mean?
Well,
that's me becoming judge.
I'm not going to put a limit on what God can give a preacher, but it's been my understanding, like I just stated and you alluded to, that they're taking a little too much, they're keeping a little too much, and they've actually forgotten where they came from. You know, so, and I'm not here to judge, and I don't know what God is doing in their life.
Well, it's the same thing in real life. Now, as an older guy, I can run into somebody. I love people. But I ran into a rich guy, a young guy, and we're talking, doing business, whatever. But I could tell it was only going to go to a certain point, and he was blocking. I don't need Red as a friend. I've got my money in my bank account. Mm-hmm. I'm a billionaire. I'm a multimillionaire. I don't. So what's actually, he's robbed of that relationship.
Yep.
Whereas if I ran to a poor man on the street and say, hi, how are you? What's your name? My name's Albert. Hi, Albert. I'm Rhett. We have equal dignity for each other. Now we can talk and become friends, but we have a need for each other. But if it cuts off your think you're too somehow secure to need others, right?
I've been doing this, I don't know, 30 years or more. If you go back and look at Charles Stanley, 10 years, 20
listen
years
to me
ago.
Now. Listen to me.
He looks exact, except for a few wrinkles, he looks exactly the same.
You know he passed, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No fancy multicolored jackets and the super hairdo and the dying and the...
Dr. Graham, who I got to interview, Dr. Billy Graham. When he came up, it was in a Baloa hotel where they came in where they're doing the laundering. He drove in the front of a normal car. They said he would not sit in the back and that he would not get into a limousine because he had humility.
And so... So
you're saying the same thing about Dr. Stanley.
Yeah. And so getting back to the topic recovery, I think we all need to recover from either, like Solomon said, a little too much or not enough. I come from very humble beginnings, and it's very difficult for me to step into higher things because of the way my mind has been acclimated. It's hard for me. I don't ever want to see the day when I buy some $800 tennis shoes. I hope that day never comes. I've been known to wear cowboy hats. A Stetson, $250. But I don't ever want to see the day that the hat that I'm wearing costs $500, $600, $700. I don't want to see that day.
How about those new Bugatti cars? I come out of a restaurant down in Palm Beach. That's a $3 million car.
I was going to say, a million won't even get one.
I could retire on that.
They got a Mercedes that's going for a mil now.
Oh, yeah.
But I can think of better things to do with my money because I come from humble beginnings. I don't know. Now, the Lord has forced me to step into bigger shoes as I go along.
Okay, but I could be arrogant in this way. I was living, as I told you, I was a struggling songwriter living in the ghetto of Troy, New York. $150 a month rent. Jesus comes and visits me there. I get born again. Now, I come down to Florida, and I have prospered. I know what it's like to have a prestige vehicle. I know what it's like to have a big home on the water. So, and I know what it's like to stay in nice places. So do I have a right to tell others they shouldn't, because I've had it, even though if I don't have it now – I have had it because once you've had it, you know, you go like, Well, like I walked into a billionaire's house and we walked out and I said, I didn't feel comfortable in there. And my wife says, well, just because you have money doesn't mean it doesn't buy you good taste. And I'd rather be in a small home where there's love than in a big home with big empty, you know, caverns where there maybe is not.
Because well, one thing I know about my God is he wants us to rub elbows and help and witness to the affluent as well as the destitute.
Yes.
Because I've, in my time, I've worked for a lot of affluent people, and some of them are not happy, and some of them are not saved. But unless I'm given access to them, you know, and also it's been a learning lesson for me. I had a millionaire client of mine out in Vegas. I had the code to the front gate, you know, and I would go over there twice a week. And so it was very different for me to be trusted by that level of individual. That so it did me some good, you know. But anyway.
Well, Bob Dylan said in one of his songs, help me, I'm helpless like a rich man's son. A terrifying thing to inherit money because it robs you of the desire to try to climb your own mountain. You're kind of like it usurps that, you know. All of a sudden, you don't have to try.
I think I saw an interview with Ed Bradley where he said he sold his soul.
No.
Or was that someone else?
Well, no, people misconstrue it. Bob Dylan didn't sell his soul. Okay. He knows Jesus. But he meant he made a deal with God early on. They took, well, I made a deal with the man. He called him the man. But Jesus, he had gospel albums out before I come to know the Lord.
Oh, really?
Okay. Oh, yeah. And I talked with people who have, and you know, there have been people that went to Bible study with him and everything. Yeah. You know, he's Jewish, and he now has a line of whiskey. But see, that's not for me to judge what he's going through.
Yeah, and going back on topic, I am persuaded, given my 58 years of living, that we all are recovering from something. Too much, not enough.
Yeah. Wounded when we're children.
Whenever I do an altar call, one of the altar calls is for the person who never stepped up.
What do you mean? Step forward for Jesus, you mean?
Yeah, they're still sitting in the pews.
Yeah, yeah.
They haven't taken on any ministry. Yeah. I preach that we have a ministry in the local church, and then we have a personal ministry.
Everybody has the ministry of reconciliation, right? Paul said.
And it could be cooking pies. It could be the guys standing on the street corner with the bullhorn, people standing out in front of
abortion
clinics.
Do you know Brother Joseph? He's a guy that does that here in town.
No,
he's a black man with big hair like this and big beard. He had 90 employees. God said, you're to go out. He has a wife and five beautiful children. He's been right in here. He's on the street corner. He's got his megaphone, but God has called him to the foolishness of preaching.
And so each one of us has a ministry. And again, I believe it's
whatever
twofold.
It is.
Maybe you're the usher at your church, but you feed the homeless down in the community. So we've got a job to do in the house and out of the house. And I believe that's where our strength and our growing is going to come from. But I believe that everybody should be recovering from something. Either we're recovering from the highs or we're recovering from the lows. I was in a relationship with this young lady who said that she was never allowed to go to church.
She was never allowed? Why?
Because her family didn't want her to go to church. That whenever she went, she was beaten, and she would go anyway. So we're all recovering either from the highs or from the lows. Because there's people that don't want other people to get it. And I've actually had people to come to me and dissuade me from the Christian faith. I've had people in my family. And again, going back to an earlier statement you made, I have a family member who had a family member die, and they've never been the same. When that person died, it took something out of them.
Well, I'm one of those. I've been devastated by the grief. But I've had to learn that Jesus learned obedience by the things which he suffered.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a man, he was well acquainted
mm-hmm.
with sorrow.
Jeremiah.
So not enough people are preaching about the sorrow. Everything's hungry. You know, you go into a church and everybody's got a prophetic word that's positive, positive, positive. And I had one preacher turn to me and said, what about the negative? And I thought, wow, I never thought of that. And so I'm working on a book right now, We Only Grow in the Valleys. When we're fat and happy.
That's good.
When we're fat and happy, we're not going to grow.
For me, and I can only speak for me, my two greatest areas of growth, I would have to say, would be in the lull or the valley. I don't learn in the good times. When I got a pocket full of money, a whole bunch of friends, everything, I don't learn nothing. But when things get taken away from me, or when I don't have something pulling, because I'm motion activated. I like to move. I'm pressure operated. I like to move. I like to shake. I like to turn. I like to twist. But if there's no movement, I'm like a machine that's not turned on. I don't see it. I don't have any worth or value.
I'm 70. I do not believe in retirement.
Is a fan really a fan if you don't turn it on?
Yeah.
Is a radio a radio if you don't turn it on? Is a lawnmower really a
gift
lawnmower?
Is not a gift unless it's
open it.
Given.
Oh, I like that.
Even the Hindus
like
say
that.
What is given is gained, but what's kept is lost forever.
Ooh,
so if you have a certain talent and you don't pass it on to young people, and when you die, it's gone. What is given is gained. What is kept is lost forever.
That's good.
Now, I don't have to throw it out just because it's a Hindu saying, right? No.
No, again, everything that happened to me before February the 18th, 1998 was a setup. I'm able to use everything I've learned as a springboard.
Look at George Washington. The guy was, what do you call it when you go out and you settle the land?
Surveyor.
Surveyor. So when he became the president, or not president, general, he knew the lay of the land. Even though we had the professional Hessians, German soldiers that were hired by the Brits, we won because he knew the lay of the land. He knew to get up on the mountaintop to fire down. Is that amazing? So, and not, by the way, not one bullet hurt. Listen, I want to thank you very much for coming in. Love you in the Lord. I hope I get to know you better. I would appreciate a new friendship. He is pastor. Your name, pastor, is?
Dwight Hadley.
And the name of your church in Fort Pierce, Florida?
St. Matthew's Missionary Baptist Church.
Will you come back again?
Of course.
Thank you. Thank you for coming.
All right.
Tune in again Monday at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is A New Day.
We'd like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting It's a New Day.
Your hair is a very important part of your daily routine. Nick and Robin, owners of NR Salon, are seasoned full-service hairstylists, serving clients for over 20 years. Nick and Robin are working out of Miracle on 34th Street, 1320 Southwest 34th Street, Palm City. They can be reached at 772-283-4974.
Your great name, all condemned.